thanks in part to the way that items can be preserved in our desert climate, as well as the number of different cultures who once called this region home, our state has more than its fair share of ancient history. In some places, it literally covers the ground. The mission statement of the Old Pueblo Archaeology Center is to educate children and adults to understand and appreciate this unique treasure and what it can tell us about past cultures, all while practicing preservation and conservation. Recently, Jim Blackwood had an opportunity to join Alan Dart, the Old Pueblo Archaeology Center's executive director, while he led a tour group to some interesting sites located at Los Morteros and Picture Rock in the Tucson Mountains. Here's an audio postcard from the trip.
Old Pueblo Archaeology Center is a not-for-profit organization that I established with some other friends of mine in 1994, is when we actually incorporated. And our mission is to conduct education and research programs in archaeology, cultures, and history, and to preserve, you know, non-renewable resources, which include archaeological sites. So to do that, we offer a lot of education programs, a lot of archaeological site tours like I'm doing today at Picture Rocks and Los Morteros. We offer free public presentations where we have guest speakers come in to give presentations on various topics in archaeology and cultures. And a lot of children's education programs. We have a simulated archaeological dig site set up at our facility on the southwest side of Tucson where we bring whole classrooms of children in to teach them archaeological methods and to show that archaeology is more just digging for artifacts. You know, it's trying to understand ancient cultures and apply that knowledge to cultures today.
I'd like to welcome you all to the Los Morteros archaeological site. You're kind of standing in the middle of it right now. Part of it's been developed over here, part of it's undeveloped over here. Los Morteros, the name means the mortars, like a mortar and pestle grinding set. And that's because there are some bedrock mortars out here. I'll show you those in a few minutes here. There were some excavations done here at the site. Basically, the site extends from about a half a mile south of here through this subdivision and continues almost a half a mile north up to the northern end of the Tucson Mountains here. So prehistorically, this was a fairly large village, but it wasn't all occupied at once. The earlier part of the site, starting around 700, there were clusters of houses started to develop on the south end of the site, and then gradually through generations, people started moving northward, you know, building northward and abandoning the older houses at the south. Now, there are a couple of fairly visible archaeological features that I'll show you. One of them is a Hohokam ball court. The ball court features are believed to be ritual use public structures where people played a kind of a ritualized ball game similar to the game that was played down in Mexico when Spanish first came to the New World in the 1500s. Ball courts were in use in the Hohokam culture from about 800 to 1100 AD generally, but in the Tucson area they stopped making and using ball courts around 950 AD. So the ball court that I'll show you probably dates between 800 and 950. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here, and please stay close together.
I got my bachelor's degree in anthropology from the University of New Mexico in 1973, and I've been practicing archaeology full-time since 1976 in New Mexico and Arizona, mostly in Arizona. I started Old Pueblo Archaeology Center in 1994, and just this year I've taken a new position with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. So I'm an archaeologist for the state of Arizona.
As you're walking along the trail, starting about here, you might start to see some prehistoric artifacts. This is a piece of flaked stone. I can tell from the material and the way it's broken. And if you really look around, you might start to see some pieces of pottery. Yeah, that's a piece of pottery. Somebody asked, is this a public place where you can come out on your own? And the answer to that is yes. It is a public park maintained by Pima County Natural Resources and Parks Department. You see this big rise right over here in the clearing. This is what we call a midden deposit or a trash mound deposit. This is a place where people were living in pit structures, which are just basically shallow pits with a structure built in the pit, covered over with brush or mats on the framework poles, and then covered over with earth to seal it from the weather. It looks kind of like a brown igloo, you know, kind of low down to the ground. But wherever you find these midden deposits, you can almost bet your bottom dollar that there's going to be several of these prehistoric pit house structures in this immediate vicinity. Now, as you get up here on the top of the mound, and you'll see literally thousands of artifacts on the top of this mound. If you look around, you know, turn some of the bigger sherds over, you might find some decorated ones like this one here that I just picked up. This is an example of the red on brown pottery made in the Tucson area, and it actually looks like a polychrome because it has brown on one side and then reddish paint on a black colored background. Here's a piece of a grinding stone, metate, a lower milling stone. It was used for as a mono metate set. Here's a piece of a shell bracelet. Okay, this is one of the groups of features that gave the site its name, Los Morteros, the mortars. Historical ethnographic studies have shown that mortars like this were used historically by the Tohono O'odham and Pima peoples of southern Arizona, primarily for processing the bean pods from mesquite trees. The mortars here, most of them average maybe about 6 to 8 inches deep. I've seen some as deep as 24 inches, sometimes more. But why would you have so many mortars here on one place when you really only need one? Any thoughts on that? Group activity. Yeah, you know, so here you're starting to get into anthropological interpretations of culture. You know, what were people doing as a group? Old Pueblo Archaeology Center's funding is a combination primarily of membership fees, donations, and some of the fees that we charge for education programs, either for our tours or for the classrooms to come in and do our education programs. We have to cover charge fees to cover our costs. In this area right here, the road kind of meanders off of the ridge, and the ridge continues around this way to where I'm standing, kind of arcs around. So right now we are on the south end of the ball court where my fingertip is. Typically, this one has not been excavated, but the ones that have been excavated, typically they have a clay plastered floor that's quite flat and it comes up almost at a 90 degree angle. The way the ball games were played in Mexico and Central America historically, this is documented history, they would play it kind of soccer style with a small ball that was either a hard rubber or a stone ball that was covered with leather, kind of like a baseball. And they could only use their elbows, their groins, and their knees, not their fingers or toes, you know, to move the ball around. And in those games down there, they actually had a stone hoop embedded at the center of the bank on either side that they tried to get the ball through for a goal. We've never found any large stone rings like that in Hohokam ball courts, so it's been speculated that they may have used basket wicker type rings stuck into the wall if they played the game the same way. Yeah, we really rely on support from the public. You know, memberships and donations are our bread and butter anymore to be able to do these children's programs especially. So we would be very happy to have contributors. This little hill that we're going around here is called the Picture Rocks Archaeological Site, and it's really a concentration. There's not too many petroglyphs known anywhere in this vicinity except here, and there's maybe two isolated ones farther up the Yuma Mine Wash up here. Most of those rocks that they use for rock art have a lighter color rock underneath that outer desert varnish layer. So when you peck or scratch through that outer layer, it exposes a lighter color and you get a high contrast design. One of the most prominent petroglyphs out here is this big spiral design that's about halfway up the hill. And you'll notice on that spiral that the rock face around it is partly worn smooth, you know, apparently by people rubbing it so much. And it's worn so much that a lot of the petroglyphs right next to it on the left have been almost obliterated. There's been a lot of places in the southwestern U.S. where spiral petroglyphs and some other petroglyphs have been found to mark solstice and sometimes equinox locations or other specific days with either a light or a shadow phenomenon going across specific parts of the petroglyph. And the equinox phenomenon that you're seeing today is virtually identical to what you'll see on the fall equinox, but it happens just at a slightly different time of day. It happens a little bit earlier on the fall equinox than it does on the spring. On both equinoxes, fall and spring, it's a diagonal, very narrow dagger of light. On the winter solstice, it's a broad swath of light that comes at a very low angle this way. This whole petroglyph site is here because of that summer solstice phenomenon. You know, somebody at some point recognized that there's this dagger of light phenomenon that occurs on the summer solstice. They commemorated that with a petroglyph, and I believe probably most of the petroglyphs here were added after that recognition, you know, that this became a very sacred place to people. And then at some point afterward, you know, that additional light dagger alignment was chipped into the rock to make it even more significant to people. You know, so somebody obviously had real good knowledge of the calendar prehistorically to even recognize that they saw that light phenomenon. It was the summer solstice. They knew what day of year it was when they came out here and saw that. So somebody obviously knew what they were doing here. We have one large archaeological sites tour coming up June 15th through the 20th in southwestern New Mexico in the Silver City and Members and Deming areas, where we'll see a lot of the Members culture archaeological sites and some of the early Mogollon sites down there, and two very spectacular rock art sites, you know, called Pony Hills and Frying Pan Canyon archaeological sites. And starting in the fall, we'll have a lot more archaeological site tours, coupled to the Phoenix area, to the White Tank Mountains west of Phoenix, to the Deer Valley Rock Art Center just north of Phoenix, to the Spurcross Ranch conservation area in Carefree, and several others. We'll probably do some more tours also on the Tohono-O'odham Reservation to a place called Ventana Cave, which is a National Historic Landmark site. We have a lecture series that we do normally on the third Thursday of every month, from September through April, and those are free. You know, we do them at restaurants, a different restaurant every month usually, so people can come and order dinner and listen to a guest speaker on a particular topic.
That was Alan Dart, the executive director and principal investigator of the Old Pueblo Archaeology Center. You can hear more of the tour online. We've got an extended version of that story available on the Arizona Spotlight page at azpm.org.